It takes time. You understand? To get the whole enjoyment of the born again experience, it doesn't just happen overnight. There's a lot of things, a lot of junk in your life that you're going to have to get away from. There's a lot of attitude changes that you're going to have to go through. There's a lot of cleanup campaigns that got to go on in your old life. Amen? So I'm here to tell you, don't get discouraged. Just recognize right from the very beginning that you know what? You didn't get into a big mess overnight. Amen? And you ain't going to get out of that big old mess overnight. So just acknowledge, hey, it's going to take some time. So get over yourself and get out of your pity party and just get real, which is one of the first things we all need to do so that we can go through and get the thing that God wants us to have, which is the joy and the peace and all those other things that people sing about but mostly don't have. Call me a liar. Shout me down. I go to church and I see, oh! And then I meet them on the street at the grocery store and they're like this. Oh, oh. It's pitiful. You understand? I don't want to have a pitiful life. I already had one of those. I want to have a good life. Amen? You got to get over yourself. You got to recognize that you can't carry those burdens no more. You got to learn to give them to God. And you got to be transformed. And all the things I'm talking about this morning take time. Everybody say it takes time.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go here. I'm going to show you something in Acts chapter 9. I'm going to talk about one of my greatest heroes I have. His name is not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. His name is not Jackson, whatever his first name is, One Love. You know what I mean? His name is not, Air Jordan or whatever his first name is. You get it? It's not that whoever that guy that hits all them home runs. I could give a rip about sports if you're wondering. Did you hear it? Pastors all sit around talking to me about sports, ask me, do I want to go play golf, tennis, go out and what? Heck no. I don't want none of that stuff. Well, why not, Dominic? I go, number one, you'd probably make me mad and I'd have to hurt you. Right? And number two, I got better things to do with my life. I enjoy being who I am in Christ. My recreation is Jesus and the things of God. Right? I mean, I'm getting to the point where I work out a little bit in a weight pile. An hour every a couple days, an hour, 2 hours every couple days. And that's enough recreation for me. I'm tired. When I'm done, I'm tired. But it's not to go out there and really compete. It's just to get in better shape so I can fulfill my ministry. Amen? Because I enjoy what I do. How many people ever see me smiling all the time? Kind of. I'm working on it. I'm an old scooter tramp. Amen? I'm an old scooter tramp, so I had to grow me some muscles. Because you don't smile when you ride motorcycles all the time because you eat bugs. It's no good. If you let your wife see your teeth show, you get black spots. And that isn't cavities. Amen. Oh! You get the picture? So when I got saved, I had to quit riding motorcycles and I had to learn to smile. Amen. There's a reason why they got that hard guy look on. They are pretty hard, don't get me wrong. But mostly, they learn right away you don't smile. Why? Trust me on this. I swallowed a bug about this big one time, an old June bug. I was yawning. Oh! No good. No good. So when I got saved, I had to learn how to smile because before I got saved, there was no point in smiling. It takes time. You get it? It takes time in everything that you do. You just don't get there overnight. I had to learn how to smile. Just this year, I'm going to tell you this last little story. It's true. It's true. It's true. I don't make this stuff up. You know what I mean? I lived one of those lives where I never was wondering about what I was going to do. I always just did something and wondered why I did it later. Come on now. Perk up. Life is good. I always lived it to the fullest, even though I was a fool when I was full, you know. All right. I remember for a long time, I used to sit there and I go, Dominic, you're supposed to be friendly. So you got to learn to smile. Everybody tell me, why don't you ever smile? And so after a couple of years, I figured it out. I'm supposed to smile. So I sat there and I went to the mirror one time and I practiced a smile. I thought it was a smile. so every time I'd see somebody from church, I was, you know, they were seeing me, whatever, they'd look at me and they'd smile at me. I'd give them my little... See, you're laughing, but I'm serious. Right? So I was sitting there one day, and just about 3 months ago, I went up to my mirror and I tried my smile on. Make sure it was working, right? I went up to my mirror and I went... I go, that's not a smile. I've been using that smile technique for 4 years or so. And I just figured out 2 or 3 months ago, it ain't even a smile. So I had to go back to my mirror and try to get a smile. It takes time. You get it? You just don't get all this neat stuff overnight. So quit beating yourself up if you're in the process of getting right, and get right and just enjoy yourself while you're doing it. But know that, you know, you ain't going to get there right away. Okay? Now I'm going to talk about my hero. He's one of my heroes. My biggest hero, of course, is Jesus. Amen? Now, I don't know. You guys can have whatever kind of fool heroes you want, but mine are going to be men of God, women of God. Amen? I'm going to put before me people that will cause me to rise up instead of sit down in my easy chair. Amen. I don't know how people can sit there and waste hours and hours and hours a day watching football. I got to tell this. I'm sorry, Lord. I know it's your anointing, but I got to do this. It's going to be on tape too. Praise God. Amen. I like it. I want everybody to hear it. I'm not ashamed. I was down in the pastors. We all go down and we pray right before service every day. Right? So I'm sitting there And I get down there to pray because I'm supposed to pray, and I believe in prayer, and you should do those things, right? And they're talking about football. And Pastor Matthew looks at me, and he starts talking about football, and he goes, don't you do any... I go, check this out. I didn't do that mess when I was in the world. I says, now that I'm in Christ, I don't have time for that mess. I go, to me, watching football, it's like watching Sally, Jesse, Raphael. That whole room just went quiet. Bang! Just like that. I don't know if the anointing left him or whatever, but I didn't care. He asked me, I ain't lying. I'm telling the truth. Sitting around watching football, baseball, all that stuff makes no more sense to me than watching, who else is on TV? Oh, hey, man. That's only if I want to exercise my heathen style, you know. I mean, it's pitiful. It's pitiful to spend your life watching a stinking TV when you got so much to do. Amen. I could be reading the Word of God. I could at least be praising God. Something. I spend enough time being about the things of the world. But it takes time. You understand? It takes time to get there. Father, I just ask you today, Lord, that you anoint this place with your presence. That God, your spirit be in here. That as I bring a word, God, people hear this truth and be encouraged by it, Lord. Your word is to bring edification and teaching to the body of Christ. And God, we all know that it takes time to get right. And let us be encouraged instead of discouraged. Because no matter where we're at, look how far we've come. Not at how far we have to go, because we're never going to arrive, but enjoy the journey. And I thank you for it in my life. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said,
amen.
Okay, here's this man here, and he's been killing people. I mean, he's been walking around the countryside, and he's been binding people up, killing people, dragging them all over, just being hateful. And that's my hero, Paul. Of course, he was Saul. Now, we were all Saul once. Say, my name used to be Saul. Come on, say, my name used to be Saul. And it was, and I don't care. You can be old prissy or whatever, but you can remember Saul just as much as you can yourself today. Amen? Right? So Saul was the kind of hateful guy, and as you know, that he was running around the countryside, and he was beating on people and whipping people and killing people because they loved Jesus. Right? And he was educated in the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. He'd been to the school of Gamaliel. But you know what? He had been taught wrong. So even if you're in the church today, there's a good chance that you've been taught wrong. You got to check your teachings along with the Bible to know that you were taught right or not. You got to be Holy Spirit led and inspired. You can't just trust teachings of men. Hello? You got to be Spirit filled and Spirit led. Now, I can lead people anywhere, but that may not be my spirit. That may just be me. But that's why you got to learn the truth. But he knew the truth, but he had been taught wrong. He'd been taught form and religion, not relationship. And relationship is what gets you home. So Saul was really putting a wrench in the works of God. Now, don't you go about putting a wrench in the works of God, because he's going to cause you to pay a heavy price. All right, here we go. So then Saul, still breathing threats and murder. See, my hero was a murderer. You get that? So, Acts 9. Didn't I say that? Wake up! Don't you sit in my class and sleep, girl. Acts 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, I want everybody to put up your finger. Put up your finger. Now point it at yourself. Say, I am of the way. Praise God. Okay. It says, any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, before people were called Christians, they were called people of the way. What way? The way of Jesus Christ. The teachings of Jesus Christ. Amen? I like that better than Christians, because most Christians I meet are hypocrites. And I like to just say that, you know what? I'd rather be of the way. Which means I'm on the path instead of talking about I'm on the path. Christians mostly talk about they're on the path, but they aren't on the path. Did you get that? I said Christians mostly talk about on the path, but are they on the path? I'd rather them be Christians and I'd be of the way. You get it? I want to be on the path. I ain't going to play. I'm going to be serious about it. People tell me sometimes that I'm too serious. No, I'm having a good time, but I'm going to be serious about the things of God. And I'm going to have a good time doing it, but I'm going to be serious about the things of God. I don't give a rip about games. Amen? I don't care about Sally, Jesse, Raphael. Did you get that? It's all the same to me. Did you get that on tape? Okay, I did. I'm going to send it to him, too. You know I will. All right. Okay. So as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what to do. And then the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. You know, sometimes you're going to hear from God, and everybody around you with religion isn't. Did you get that? I said, some of you that are really seeking God in your life are going to hear the voice of the Lord, and nobody around you is going to hear it. Amen? Now, you better know how to check the spirits, and you better make sure it's the voice of the Lord, and don't misinterpret what I'm saying. You still need confirmation. You better learn about how to get confirmation in your life. God will speak to you, and I'm going to go through this and digress for 1 minute. God will speak sovereignly to you, and then he will send somebody that probably may not even know you. You don't say nothing about what God said to nobody, not your mama, not your dada, not your sister, not your brother, nobody. And if it's God, he will sovereignly send somebody over to you and go, man, I don't know. I don't want to say this. But God told me to tell you this. And they will repeat to you exactly what God told you. And wait on that. It's called confirmation. You understand? But I'm telling you, you can hear something and nobody else hear it. Amen? So always wait for confirmation. And quit talking about what God told you until you get your confirmation. Because if you don't tell nobody, if somebody shows up and says, hey, God told me to tell you this, bang, your confirmation. But if you tell your roomie, or your buddy, or your mommy, or your daddy, now all of a sudden, they're going to sit there and go, well, yeah, that sounds right. That is not confirmation. That is humanism. Amen? All right. So anyway, so he heard from God. And so, it says that the men who drank with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. In this case, they heard the voice, but they didn't understand. Right? Then Saul arose from the ground, and it was when his eyes were open, he saw no one. He was blind. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Right? You get that? It says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. So number one, when you meet God, the first part of your process that God is going to put you through is he is going to break you. Right? He's going to break your pride issues. He is going to cause you to do things that you would never do before. Amen? He is going to make you turn your world upside down. Okay? I'm just telling you. If he's called you, you're going to go through sin, some things. Number two, after he's broken you and put you in a place where you no longer understand hardly anything about anything because God is doing something brand new in every area of your life, the next thing that's going to happen is number two, is he is going to humble you. How many people have been humbled yet? Okay, the rest of you guys got something coming. So when it happens, don't blame me. I didn't write this book. Amen? Are you getting this now? All right. So what happens is that this guy has gone out and he's going to kill people, murder people, and he's going to drag people back to Jerusalem. But something happened to him on the road to Damascus. Have you had a road to Damascus experience yet? Have you come to that place where God has absolutely inserted himself into your life and broken you? Are you hearing me this morning? Everybody's quiet. Have you been to that place where God has come inside and turned your world upside down yet? Well, the next thing that's going to happen is right in the middle of when you think you're eating a lot of humble pie, God, if he wants to use you, is going to give you a big triple dose of humble pie. See, you think just because you got broken that it's over. Oh, no. It's not true. That is just the very start of God getting you into a place where he can use you. Amen? A lot of people try to hold back from getting the whole thing because they don't like anything. And when they're being broken, they're still holding on to their pride issues and their own mind and their own way of thinking, and God can't use it. Right? You still think you know what's going on. But you're never going to listen to God until you're knowing you know nothing. Amen? Every time I think I know what's going on, I find out I don't know nothing at all. And when I think that I don't know, then I'm sure of it because he reaffirms it once again in my life. So either way, I've learned that I'm not in control of anything, that my best asset is I've learned to listen because I don't know anything. Did you get that? You've got to learn to listen. And that happens as you learn to be humble. God will, number one, break you. God will, number two, humble you, which number three will cause you to hear Him. Amen? How many people have had their life planned before they met God? I had great plans. I'm telling you, I should be in Big Bear right now building custom motorcycles. I knew that I was going to go up there and I was going to ski in the winter, go home to my garage, build motorcycles, sell them. I had my life planned. It was perfect. I can make $5,000 or $6,000 a month doing what I love the most. I knew that God would have me to do that. But no, I'm in downtown L.A. working darn near for nothing, have nothing, going nowhere fast, stuck in the middle of the pit right here. But I feel better and I'm having more fun now than I've ever had in my life. Go figure. I thought the truth was that I deserve to have a fleet of motorcycles. I should be building custom motorcycles, riding in the summer, and just working a little bit in the winter and having a free life, no more responsibilities, kids grown up, gone, nothing going on at home but a good time. But no, here I am. Go figure. Are you following me? Now, it takes time to break you, right? Everybody say it takes time.
Yeah.
Right? It takes time to humble you. They're going to put you around somebody like me that ain't going to listen to none of your excuses. God is going to cause you to be around a person that ain't listening to none of your pathetic little emotional whatever. And somebody like me is going to just sit there and go, oh, you're not done yet? Okay. Okay. And then you just turn around and you go, now get over your pity parties. Right? Quit your whining. You got the grace and the glory of God in your life. Now get up and do something with it. Because if you just need a psychologist, psychoanalyst, what's that other term they use? Somebody just listens to your stuff.
Therapist.
Oh, man. Look, you need to get over all that, and you need to get into that place where you've been humbled, you've been broken, right? So that now your ears are open because you recognize you know nothing. And at that time, God is going to start to talk to you. Amen? Why? Because now you're in that place that you are broken, right? Which means that everything you thought is now wrong and you know it. It's very humbling, right? Then He has humbled you. You know you're not in charge of nothing. Right? If you still think you're in charge of even your life, you ain't got very far yet. I ain't in charge of nothing. People come up to me, they go, what are you going to do today? I don't know. What do you mean? What are you going to do about this? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I got to pray. Well, I want to go visit mom or dad. I want to do this. I got to pray. They go, what do you mean you got to pray? I go, I don't know. I know that I got to pray. One thing I'm sure of is I got to pray. One thing I'm sure of is I got to study the Word. One thing I'm sure of is I got to seek God. And everything else, I don't know. Have you got that far yet? Because if you don't learn to do those things, are you going to hear Him? Right? We're talking about Paul today. Paul is a good example of what everybody goes through that's going to be used of God. Amen? So you get to the place where you've been broken. You get to the place where you recognize you're not in charge of anything. Now you're in a place where you will finally listen. Amen? There's a lot of you guys out there that listen, but you don't want to hear. What does it mean? Well, God will tell you to do just what you don't want to do. Now, in order for me to get here, I probably spent about 3 months rebuking the devil. Because God was telling me to come to the Dream Center. I had a ministry. I was sitting there going, "You stinking devil, you. Get out of here. Get behind me, Satan." Certainly God would never have me do that. Come on now. I was listening, but I didn't want to hear. All right? Now this is the next step, is you are going to hear him and not listen. And what happens is you got to go back to great right here. You're going to get broken again. Then you're going to get humbled again. Then you're going to want to hear him again. And after all that, you're going to learn this big one here. Obey and submit. Did you get that? Ha-ha! Oh, I love this part. This is good. I mean, everybody usually gets through the first two and they hang out at between 3 and 1 the rest of their lives. Right? Because he tells you what to do, but you don't want to do it. Somebody will talk you out of it. Some event will happen. You won't stand your ground. Your godly character goes out the tubes. You meet him or her, and there you win. Are you getting this? Are you understanding? But you see, God doesn't change his ways. God is always the same. Everybody say it takes time. Now, how long do you think it was before Paul really got on track? Now, I really feel bad mostly for people that have been in church all their lives. Ooh, everybody's looking at me mean now. Why do I say that? Because you got religion. You know what I understand? You got all the answers. You got all the pet sayings. You got all the whatevers. I mean, well, brother, I never drank. Well, you should have. You loosen up a little bit and do what you need to do. Well, you know, I never smoked or drank or chewed and didn't go with girls that did. That's wonderful. But you know what? You need to get a little more real in your life, more practical, more where you can relate to people. And if you can do that without those other things, and I'm not advocating sin. I'm just telling you that you got to be relatable. You got to be real. You got to be able to relate to the people. You know, most people in church, the sinners are all going to hell out there. And we're sitting in church singing glory. Hallelujah. You getting it? Because we got religion. But if you got Jesus, you got to go tell somebody. If you got Jesus alive and inside of you, you can't sit inside of four walls. You can't sit still. You got to get out there and share that love with people. Are you following me today? How many people know how many years it was between the time that he heard the initial message from God and the time he truly started on his path? 18 years before he started on his ministry to the lost heathens that we are today. Are you hearing me? Now, he knew the Bible, right? He studied in the school of Gamaliel, right? He knew about religion. He knew about God. But it took him 18 years from the road to Damascus until he finally started his journey to the Gentiles. Why? Because he had to be broken. Amen? And then, you know, here, I'm gonna put some, this is not biblically sound. This is a Dominic thing I'm going to insert. And I want to be very careful because I didn't write the Bible. Okay? And I'm not trying to write the Bible. And I'm very careful what I teach. But knowing people, and how many people think I deal with people? I deal with a lot of people all the time. All right? I believe that he was set up to be in the ruling class of priests of the day. I believe in order to go far that he had to be married. Amen. Did you hear me? And I really believe that in his life he had to give it all up, everything, to serve Jesus. Why? Because if you have a wife, if you're married, and they're used to living so-so, in such-and-such a house with such-and-such a thing, and you are in the inner circle, and you go to the cocktail parties or whatever Christians do, I don't know. I get to work, or that's what I get to do. I don't know what other Christians get to do. But I mean, I'm not complaining. But I mean, if you're in the upper circle of the ruling class of priests of the day, you go to social functions. So your wife is used to social functions. And she's used to everybody going, oh, there goes the wife of Saul. Hi. Because they're all looking at Saul. Because if you watch him in the Bible, he is definitely an upwardly mobile priest. Amen? And I believe when I read the Bible, he was a human being too. How many people recognize that? That's why I like him. He's always human. And he has this thing about marriage. How many people have ever read his word and the thing about marriage and how harsh he is in some areas? Was he a human being? Now, the only way you would get that way, I believe, is if you've been hurt. How many people have been hurt? Do you understand? And when you're hurt, you lash, right? See, I believe that one of the things that God allowed him to go through, if you will, is he broke him. And he humbled him. And he stripped him of his position. And everything he'd been about in his life, and I also believe that at that point, his wife probably ran away. In each and every one of your lives, you are going to come to a place that you're going to have to decide just like Catherine Kuhlman did. Anybody know the story of Catherine Kuhlman? How she had to run away from that man that she was deeply in love with, and until the day she died, every Valentine's Day, she would lock herself in a room and cry and cry and cry about that lost love. You see, the last thing that's going to happen in order for you to learn to obey Him and to submit to Him is you must make Him, of all things in your life, totally, no matter what, number one. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you something, people, that if you want to do a great work for God, it takes time, and you're going to go through a lot of workshops in your life, and you are consistently going to go through these things until you get to the point where you obey and you submit, and no matter what anybody says, no matter who they are, you do what God tells you to do. Amen? I'm not sitting here, and you know what? I tell you I'm having a great time, but if you don't think for a minute I haven't paid a price, you're out of your mind. If you think for a minute it was free and I just hopped off a motorcycle one day and God just put the glory on me, then you're out of your stinking mind. Amen? If you think I got here on account of my good looks, look, we can tell the rest of that story. Amen? Let's not talk about it too long, but we can. My point is this, is in my life, and in Paul's life, and in anybody that wants to do a great work for God's life. These are common things that we all go through. We've all been Saul. Amen? But we must become renewed and become Paul. Are you hearing me here this morning? I mean, yes, I'm having a good time. And later on in the Pauline letters, you'll start to see where he lost his bitterness and he's starting to really, you know, get away from something. We're all going to be hurt by things in life. Amen? We're all going to go through things in life. But those things are either going to build character in you, godly character, or they are going to break you. Now, in my life, I have made a choice that each of us, myself especially, I have made this choice that I want to serve God and do great works for God. But you know what? If it took a great scholar with all the right pedigrees 18 years before he started his ministry to those that were not Jews, then it's okay with me if it takes me 18 years to get into the place where God is really using me. Amen? Because we're all in a hurry. I got great visions, and it seems like I'm moving at less than snail space. You know, I look down on the ground, and that slug ain't gone an inch, and I'm supposed to be over there by now. You understand? And we all go through these things. But I'm here telling you that God has perfect timing. And if you will take the time to learn correctly the truth, then God is going to greatly use you. But don't get in a hurry. Don't get upset on account of it didn't happen just right away. Don't worry when it seems like people oppose you. You just every day do what you know is right in God. Every day you give it your best shot. Every day when you get up, you pray and ask God to ordain your life and you follow His voice. Every day, every day, every day, every day. For how long? Till the appointed time. Amen? And God is going to do great work in your life. You see, today, people, I want to encourage you. Hey, you know what? It takes time. Why? I don't know. I'm not God. But I know it's true. God prepares us step by step, piece by piece, to get us to that place. Amen? And we've got to learn His voice. We've got to learn His word. We've got to learn His ways. And we've got to make it practical so it applies. Do you think Paul, a great man, took his Jewish religion out to the world and taught it? Or do you think that God ordained Paul, that great man, to take Jesus out to the world and teach Him? In all the things that we do, we have got to stay away from religion. And we must proclaim the love of Jesus to everybody. Because Jesus is the one that when we lift up His name, that He draws all people to Him. Now you're going to go through an area when you first get saved where you get religion. Right? You're going to get it. But watch it. Because religion ain't going to win nobody to Jesus. Do you understand? And we have got to get in a place where we go through these different things so we begin to understand the love of Jesus. Because the love of Jesus is what sells to the world today. It's always going to sell. But you know what, people? Your great works are not going to happen right away. You are not to get discouraged because it seems like it's taking you some time. I know my students in here are going, 18 years, Dominic. I got to be with you 18 years? No! Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you that don't get your expectancies so high that you allow the devil to come in and crush you. Amen? Don't get in a hurry. Listen, you're going to be broken. Period. You're going to be humbled. Period. You're going to think you're right and everybody else is wrong, and then it's not going to work out and you're going to be humbled again. Period. It's normal, okay? But when you go through that, now you're going to learn to hear Him and to listen to Him. How many people in this room have known what God wanted them to do and didn't do it? And didn't you learn from it? See, there will be a day, as long as you keep pressing in, that God is going to start to speak to you and you are going to do it. But it's not going to happen just overnight. It's a learning thing. You understand? Now, I blow it bad, but I want to encourage you. You know what? I've only been in the Lord 8.5 years. Okay? And look what God's done with me. Can you imagine that? It's amazing to me. It really is. And you know what? God can take nothing and do everything. But you know, when I was in full-time ministry 4 years, I was wondering when He was going to take and pick me up. You understand? I'm wondering when He was going to... I mean, 4 years pushing a broom. Oh, God. Oh, God. You know what I mean? I went from having a dream of building motorcycles and living in Big Bear to living in a bunkhouse full of guys. Oh, God. You get it? Why? Humble. Broken. Usable. You understand? I was so full of me and my ideas and the world that had been in me that I was unusable yet. But if you will get to that point where you open up and allow God to break you and to humble you and keep going forward anyway, you're going to get to that place where you're going to do big works, great works for God. Are you hearing me here today? Listen to me. Listen to me, people. This Bible study is for you. Amen? It's for every one of you because we're all on a walk in God. And we've got to understand that, you know what? We're going to go through some grievous things. But through all of it, God is walking with us. He's not going nowhere. Amen? And He's teaching us the truth. And we just got to sit there and learn. And after a while, we'll quit hearing and not listening. We'll start hearing and listening. And then we'll get better at it. And God will use us greatly. See, I love the Lord. And what I told you about yesterday and Magic Mountain and how I feel today, it's all true. But I'm going to tell you what. I was probably, you know, 4 or 5 years in the Lord before I really felt my life really turning around. So I just want to encourage you. And every day I was sitting there going, when, God? When? When? In the appointed time. And then after I got my life turned around, He started to really multiply certain areas. And now I'm starting to walk in real blessings. But you know what? It just takes time. Everybody say, it takes time.
It takes time.
So don't get discouraged. You press in. You go forward. You don't let nothing stop you. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to people talking bad about you. Don't listen to those naysayers. Always hold on to your dream. Always hold on to the thing that God is planning in you. Always know that if you do not falter, God never fails and neither will you. It says, do not be weary in doing good. For if you faint not, you shall overcome all these things and have your destiny. But everybody say, it takes time. Hallelujah. Father, I love you, God. Let it be today that Jesus, you just show these people the truth, Lord. God, I love you, God. You are awesome in me, Lord. And I ask that you be awesome in them. God, I just ask today that you gird up their loins, that you strengthen them, God, that you help them to draw closer to you than you've ever been, Lord. That above all, Lord, that you ordain their steps and that you teach them how to hear your voice. So that they might be all that they can be in you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love preaching myself happy.
Center.net. We pray that you have been richly blessed by God through this message.